I failed the test. I'm Joseph. This is Input English. Today I have an episode that starts with that idea of I failed the test. This, of course, is for comprehensible input. The videos on the Input English channel are for English language learners who would like to use comprehensible input to improve their listening comprehension and eventually speaking ability. Comprehensible input, used correctly, usually dramatically improves our pronunciation of the target language. Additionally, well-done comprehensible input is fun. Think how boring it was to study grammar and vocabulary. Think how frustrating it was to not remember what you studied. I got good grades when I studied German, but then I couldn't speak it. I couldn't understand it. I felt betrayed. Comprehensible input to the rescue. So today's episode begins with this idea that I failed a test. What was that test? Well, it was not a formal test. I wasn't sitting for an examination. I wasn't trying to qualify for something. When I used the term test, what I meant was I was in a situation, I responded to that situation, and then looking at my response, I judged that I had failed the test. I had done something not very good. By now, you figured out that I'm going to tell you a short, true story. In recent weeks, I was out doing errands. I was out and about. I was driving from one location to another, checking off my to-do list, getting things done. I had a very productive morning, and at lunchtime, I was getting hungry. But I wasn't home. I was in San Jose. San Jose is the big city near to where we live. I don't live in San Jose, but I'm there frequently. It is easy to find a good restaurant in San Jose. There are many great restaurants. So I solved my problem of hunger at the midday when I was out and about by going to a restaurant. I chose a familiar Ethiopian restaurant near to downtown. When I walked in, it was very quiet. I selected my usual table and sat down. The hostess slash waitress did not bring me a menu. No, she knew that was completely unnecessary because we have had a course of dealings. That is, she and I knew each other from my previous visits, and she knew that I already knew what was in the menu and would not need to look at it. She came and took my order. She was not surprised what I ordered because I usually order the same thing. She placed that order with the kitchen staff, and I was seated comfortably at this table. There were very few people in the restaurant. I couldn't hear any conversations. In the next room, there was a soccer game on the television, but I couldn't hear it. I'm not usually very interested in watching soccer games. So I found myself comfortably seated in this restaurant with nothing to do until the food came. I was familiar with the decor. I was familiar with the pictures and the decorations. Nothing had changed. I knew that the food would come out relatively quickly because they are very efficient in bringing out the food. And since I was there by myself, there was no one to talk to. What did I do? I reached in my pocket, pulled out my phone, checked my email, checked the internet, a couple of news feeds, and checked YouTube. In other words, I chose to use my cell phone as a little kiosk of entertainment to take care of my temporary boredom. I realized what I had done and realized that I had failed the test. So why did I tell you that story? Well, in the 21st century, we have a bunch of interesting challenges, and one of those challenges, simply stated, is there are not enough hours in the day. Now, we can look at that problem, that there are not enough hours in the day, and look at the details. How do we choose to use our time? How do we choose our input? And the realization that if we don't choose, someone will choose for us. This is key. In the 21st century, if we don't choose our input, we are likely to be outsmarted by an AI that dictates the input we get. As I thought about this problem, I came upon the concept of balance, the idea of living in balance. So how do I define that? What does it mean to live in balance? Usually, when someone talks about living in balance, they talk about their conduct being consistent with their values. If we live in balance, our behavior should be sustainable. The activities we choose should be healthy. When I say healthy, I mean for our physical health and our psychological well-being. Well, when we state the challenge that way, it's not so easy, is it? In order to live in balance, we have to manage our work, our relationships, our nutrition, our self-care, and our entertainment in order to live in balance. Again, this is not so easy. I look at all of this as a dynamic process, not a static one. Our circumstances are constantly changing. One can identify times during our life when we are out of balance. What might these be? Many educational experiences are very out of balance. We put a high priority on the education, and other priorities take a back seat to the educational requirements. Times of financial or personal stress will change our behavior, and we may be out of balance during those times when we are addressing these sources of stress. If we become obsessed with something or someone, that can throw us out of balance. We can put all our efforts into this obsession and forget to pay the bills or forget to fix proper meals. We can find ourselves snacking on junk food because all our efforts are going into this obsession. If we have sustained a major loss, personally, financially, if we have sustained a major illness or injury, those can throw us out of balance. And to finish this list off, people in our life can throw us out of balance. They can take up so much of our time and so much of our effort that we are not in balance. In the 21st century, we have a lot of challenges that have developed over time. The economic realities in which we find ourselves can have a big impact on whether we can live in balance. Social media is a major challenge for people. In the United States, the most recent statistics that I could find online indicate that the average adult in the United States spends approximately 2 hours a day on social media. That's a big chunk of time. That statistic is even worse with teenagers. The average teenager spends nearly 4 hours on social media each day. And if those numbers represent the average, then we would reasonably conclude that a lot of people spend a lot more than that amount of time on social media. In the 20th century, television occupied this place in our time schedule. In the 21st century, it's social media. Many of us, responding to the features of our devices, our smartphones, have made ourselves very reachable. We've turned on the notifications so that when we get a text message, an email, we get an alert so that we stop what we're doing and look at that notification. As good citizens, we are responsible to stay informed, but we can spend a lot of our day consuming news from the various news feeds. They are designed to catch our attention and draw us in, so they can be a big time sink for us. How can we strike a balance between our need to be informed as a citizen versus wasting our time by watching the news around the clock? Some people spend a lot of time in an unproductive state because of substances, mind-altering substances that could represent a glass of wine or some other substance. Substance use can dramatically change our productivity and can throw us out of balance. For many of us, the search for a mate can be a very time-consuming, all-consuming activity. The use of the various online dating apps is evidence that people are putting quite a bit of effort into finding a compatible mate. Basically, we have a lot of challenges in the 21st century, and the question I am considering is, how do we respond? How do we learn from the experiences that we have, and how do we set ourselves up for success and a chance to live in balance, to live in harmony with our circumstances? I used that experience in the restaurant as a learning experience. I didn't feel guilty about it, but I noticed that I had been quick to pull out that cell phone and start scrolling on the internet. About a week later, I had a chore to do that was going to put me in a similar situation. I needed to get the oil changed in the car by the place where I would get that done. It was very busy, and the fellow told me that it would be hours. I was welcome to leave the car with him, and I could pick it up the next day. That was not convenient. He said, alternatively, you could come first thing in the morning and I could probably get you in and out pretty quickly. I figured that I would still be waiting over an hour, so I was mentally prepared for that. Instead of planning on pulling out my phone and scrolling the internet, I figured that I would get some comprehensible input. I brought my wireless headset, the bone conduction headset, and I had planned the input that I would be getting. I also chose to get a walk during this time. So I dropped the car and headed out walking around Los Gatos, California, listening to a podcast in German, and it was very pleasant. Everything went exactly as planned, and I got more than an hour of input on this very long walk. When I got back to the place that did the oil change, I asked the fellow at the desk how we were doing, and he said, I think you're next. Oh, the realization was that I had just spent an hour and had accomplished nothing. I was still waiting in line. There were a lot of people ahead of me, even though I showed up first thing in the morning. I continued listening to that podcast. I got a total of 2 hours of German, and occasionally I would look to see if the car had moved, whether they had brought it into the work area. It had not moved. Having completed my metric for that day, I did some daydreaming. I thought about various things, used my imagination, thought about future episodes for this channel, thought about some of my future plans for travel, for adventure. I entertained myself mentally for another hour. During this phase of my stay at this facility, I noticed that the car had gone into the service bay. They did the oil change and the rotation of the tires as planned. It took them another 45 minutes to do that. My stay at this place was approaching 4 hours. I had not checked the internet, I had not checked the news, and I had disciplined myself to be patient. At one point, the fellow at the desk thanked me for being patient. He walked over and explained that one of his workers had gone home sick, and that had put them way behind. It was an unexpected problem. He appreciated that I was understanding. I smiled at him and I said, "No, it's not a problem. I only look impatient. I'm actually very chill. This is fine." That was actually true. I had prepared myself that this was going to be a lengthy process, and I had planned my response. The purpose of that planning was to not get upset, not stress myself over this, not create unnecessary stress. This task of getting an oil change was necessary, and it was being done, and I was in charge of my attitude and my response to what appeared to be unreasonable delays. Eventually, the car was done, and he called me to the desk so that I could pay. He didn't give me the bill, he just created it electronically and just activated the little device upon which we can tap our credit card to make the payment. He said, "You can tap right there, it's 317. I had my credit card in hand, and as I was tapping the device to make the payment, I was thinking, $317? That's very expensive for an oil change. I didn't let on that I was upset or surprised, but I was very curious, why was it so expensive? I had spent my whole morning waiting for this car to be serviced, and then they presented me with a bill that was about twice as much as I expected, perhaps even higher. What is going on?" I did not allow myself to get upset. I paid it, and he handed me the printed invoice. I looked at it, and it said 317. But it didn't say $317. It said $3.17. I looked at him and said, "What is this all about?" Said, "I just got my oil changed. You rotated the tires. How come you're charging me $3.17? He said, "Well, you know, we had a lot of delays here. You spent a lot longer here than you should have. You were very patient. You didn't complain. So I took care of you. Your oil change was free. The $3 was for the brake inspection." I thanked him profusely. I did not object to that level of kindness. I did not expect it, but I was impressed how my mental preparation for this process paid off in real dollars. Of course, one cannot expect that kind of kindness every day. Years ago, my wife and I would watch cooking shows every night on the television. We enjoyed them. Perhaps we would have a little adult beverage to go with them, a little glass of wine, for instance. And that's the way we spent our evenings. Over time, we realized that in spite of watching all those cooking shows, we had never made a meal based on a recipe that we learned from those cooking shows. We had just been spending our time as a habit. It was an easy, comfortable, dumb habit of watching those shows. We invoked a two-stage solution to that problem. First, we stopped watching the cooking shows. Second, we gave the television away. Months ago, I was talking to a friend of mine and our conversation drifted to the use of comprehensible input. I told him what I was doing and the kind of results that I was seeing. He said, "Oh, I would love to do that. But how do you find the time?" he asked. I told him my methodology. I told him about coffee and breakfast over comprehensible input. I told him about listening to podcasts while driving. I told him about watching videos for comprehensible input in the evening instead of television. He stopped me and said, "Oh, I couldn't do that. My wife and I watch shows on television together that are very important to us." Now, I don't tell you that to ridicule my friend. It's just illustrative of how people set their priorities. And if the challenge is there are not enough hours in the day, it appears that our priorities contribute to that problem. Now, as you listen to all this, you should understand that I am not being prescriptive. I'm not telling anybody what they need to do. It's just an interesting challenge for us in the 21st century. And of course, as language learners, it's great fodder for comprehensible input, because these are experiences that we all share to some extent. We're all busy. I think we need to remember that our response to time management and choosing our input needs to be dynamic. Today's solutions will not necessarily work tomorrow. Life is a very dynamic process. The habits that we use today may not be applicable in the future. It's almost a paradox. We're all very busy, but during the day, there are times when we find ourselves bored. We go onto our device and let somebody else choose our input, let somebody else determine how we spend our time. Armed with that knowledge, with that realization, perhaps we can make better use of our time. I try to do that. In a recent video, I disclosed that our community band is going to Carnegie Hall. I predicted that I would be practicing my instrument more in anticipation of that trip to Carnegie Hall. I want to play much better than I currently play. I want to improve my technique and my musicianship. I am using this challenge of the trip to Carnegie Hall to level up my playing. And of course, the way you do that is practice, practice, practice. However, if I'm going to dramatically increase my music practice, where am I going to find the time? I'm already busy. There are not enough hours in the day. How can I layer that on top of what I'm already doing? How can I pull it off? That's what I've been thinking about ever since I found out we're going to Carnegie Hall. I think the answer is setting priorities, managing my own input, and striving to live in balance so that my conduct is consistent with my goals and values. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.